NASA has cast its research eye on a little island in Lake Superior. It's about 12 miles northwest of Marquette, Granite Island. It's the focus of NASA research that could help us understand the way clouds and aerosol particles in the atmosphere affect global climate change. NASA is working with Northern Michigan University on the project. And John Lenners is part of that. He is a research associate at Northern and one of the investigators. Good to have you with us, John.
Thanks for having me.
So first, tell us about this NASA network that the Granite Island site is a part of.
Well, they have a number of sites around the country and actually around the world that measure solar radiation, or the amount of sunlight coming from the sky, and also infrared radiation coming from the sky and the clouds. And part of the reason for these sites is they're used to validate satellite measurements. So many of the satellites that NASA runs measure similar variables from the sun and from the clouds. And in order to get an assessment of whether they're correct or not, you need similar measurements on the ground. So that's partly why they put these sensors up at Granite Island as part of their Clouds and Earth's Radiant Energy System Satellite Validation, or SERES, project.
Okay, so that ground data kind of corroborates what it is the satellites are indicating.
Exactly, right. And they're also used to measure things like long-term variations in sunshine and other radiation that's received at the Earth's surface, which obviously modifies our weather and climate.
Now, I got to say, John, when people hear you use that word radiation, I think a lot of minds will jump immediately to nuclear radiation. But so talk to us a little more. Break down what radiation means in this context.
Well, radiation spans a whole range of wavelengths, from very harmful wavelengths like ultraviolet and even higher frequency than that. But, I mean, we're inundated with radiation all day long from the sun, from infrared radiation that we can feel and keeps us warm. So there's plenty of radiation that's not necessarily directly dangerous to humans and, in fact, is really important for driving our weather and climate.
And why are these measurements being taken on Granite Island important in understanding the role of clouds and aerosols and their effect on climate change?
Well, part of the reason for the selection of that site was because it's located far from land. And so when the satellites are looking down at the Earth, oftentimes they get a lot of clutter from all the variability that's going on the land, like changes in land cover due to forests and urban areas, water areas. But when you go over a water area, you don't have all that clutter. And so what they're seeing from the satellite is pretty much just a wide open expanse of Lake Superior. So if they see any variability in their measurements, that almost for sure reflects some kind of changes in cloud cover or aerosols, which are precisely what they're interested in measuring, not all the clutter on the ground. So that's the main reason they chose an overwater site. They had another one off of Chesapeake Bay, and that one was decommissioned for safety reasons, so they needed another overwater site. They were also really interested because it's part of the Great Lakes Evaporation Network, and this is a number of sites on the Great Lakes, two of which are on Superior, Standard Rock Lighthouse and Granite Island Lighthouse. Those have been in operation since 2008 to measure other aspects of the lake energy balance, so things like lake evaporation and other heat fluxes that are of use for this SERES project by NASA as well.
John, give us an understanding of what current science says on the relationship between the role of clouds and aerosols in how they affect climate change. What's that relationship?
Well, I can give you one really good example, and that's something known as global dimming or global brightening. A lot of people have probably heard of global warming.
Yes.
And that's, you know, related to the increase of the greenhouse effect due to fossil fuel burning and CO2 and methane and other greenhouse gases like water vapor in the atmosphere. But on top of global warming, we've had something known as global brightening and global dimming. And this was first understood back in early 80s when they started seeing changes in the Earth's radiation received at the surface and understanding that it was related to pollutants in the atmosphere. So we've been putting pollutants in the atmosphere for quite some time. And when that happened, it reflected more sunlight and made the Earth less warm than it would have been because of global warming. So there was a tailing off of global warming back in the 50s and 60s. Some people refer to that as like the big cooling back in the 70s. It wasn't really cooling globally. It was just tailing off of the global warming process. Well, in the 80s, we started to clean up our act and removed a lot of the pollutants and aerosols from the atmosphere, and global warming started to take off like mad, basically taking the cap off by letting more sunlight down at the Earth's surface. So it basically amplified what was already happening with global warming. And this is a process that it's not fully understood. Some places the global brightening is due to changes in cloud cover. Other places it's due to changes in aerosols and pollutants. And so we're trying to get a better handle on that. And one of the reasons we're really interested in that for Lake Superior is it's warming very rapidly. It's one of the most rapidly warming lakes on the planet. And part of the reason for that is because of increased sunshine in the summertime, there's been less cloud cover over the Upper Great Lakes region over the years, and the reasons for that aren't fully understood. But we do know that that increased brightening at the surface is leading to more rapid warming than we are expecting just simply from global warming.
Boy, when you think of cause and effect and how intertwined things are, I can see where there, it really is a heavy lift for research to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, exactly right. And, the, you know, the sun is like the big elephant in the sky that, that sometimes just gets ignored. And unfortunately, radiation measurements like this are relatively rare compared to other basic weather stations that measure temperature and wind and precipitation. So we really need a better network of measurements of radiation at the Earth's surface to understand the effects of clouds and aerosols.
Well, John Letters, you mentioned that you're a part of the Great Lakes Evaporation Network, and I know that takes measurements on Granite Island, and that that data will help provide a complete picture of the region's energy budget. Can you explain for us just what an energy budget is and its importance in regulating climate?
Sure. The surface energy budget, for example, the Great Lakes, is basically an accounting of all the energy coming into and out of the lake and how that changes the energy within the lake, which is mostly just the temperature of the water. It's sort of like an accounting that you would do of your own personal checking account. You figure out how much money is coming in, how much money is going out, and the difference is your change in balance. And so we have that same thing going on in the Great Lakes. They get the vast majority of their energy from the sun and from the sky. That's called shortwave radiation and infrared radiation. And they release energy by radiation as well, emitting infrared radiation up to the sky. And then what's left over are a couple other processes. Evaporation is a cooling process, as we all know. You know, if you get your skin wet in the summertime and you step outside in the wind, you cool off really rapidly. So the lakes sweat in a sense as well. They lose their energy partly by evaporation. And also something known as sensible heat flux, which is just basically the wind moving over warm water. If the air is cool, the lake will lose heat that way. And so you account for all the amount of energy going into and out of the lake, and what's left over is the change in heat stored in the lake, and that's generally measured by buoys. So we have temperature sensors on buoys, many of which measure temperatures throughout the depth of the lake, so from the top down to the bottom. And if you have enough of those, you can get a sense of what the change in heat storage in the lake is. So all these different processes affect the water temperature, they affect processes like evaporation, and they even affect our weather because these lakes are so big that the temperature differences you get between the land and the water can drive things like lake effect snowfall and lake breezes in the summertime and things like that.
John, ultimately, when you think of the research you're doing now on Granite Island, this little island in Lake Superior, working with NASA, what do you hope this research will lead to?
For one thing, I hope it leads to a much better understanding of how our Great Lakes are affected by weather and climate and how we might expect them to be affected in the future. There's really quite a scarcity of observations over the Great Lakes because they are so large, and you know, some of these sites are really hard to access, especially ones like Standard Rock, which is 24 miles from the nearest land point. And so getting observations over the lake, even just to make a basic weather forecast for that day for mariners, you know, to get a good wind and wave forecast, is really difficult without having good observations out on the lake. So we hope that this collaboration with NASA will lead to certainly better observations of radiation and cloud cover and aerosols and how that affects the lakes and the climate.
John Lenters is a researcher with Northern Michigan University. John, thank you so much for sharing your work with us.
You bet. Thank you.